Are you ready for more Benicula?
Yeah.
All right, let me get my page markers out. And here we go. Chapter 4, A Cat Prepares. I almost didn't make it to my meeting with Chester that night. Toby had a feast in his room. It was Friday night, and on Friday nights, Toby gets to stay up and read as late as he wants to. So of course, he needs lots of food to keep up his strength. Good food like cheese, crackers, chocolate cupcakes, my favorite, the kind with cream in the middle, yum. Pretzels and peanut butter sandwiches. The last I cannot abide because my mouth always gets stuck. Chocolate cupcakes with cream in the center, however, are another story. This particular evening, I stationed myself on Toby's stomach. Usually, I'm a little more subtle, but having missed out on bacon at breakfast, I was not about to take any chances on the chocolate cupcakes with the cream centers. Toby knew what I was after, but sometimes he thinks he's funny and he plays little games with me. Hi, Harold. I bet you'd like a peanut butter sandwich, wouldn't you? Here, have this one that's left over from yesterday while I eat this boring chocolate cupcake, which is nice and fresh and has cream in the middle. Okay, Harold? Ha ha. My sides are splitting. What's the matter? Don't you want the peanut butter sandwich? All right, I'll put it away for another night. Oh, here's something you might like. It's a green sour ball from Dad's candy dish that was stuck to my sock. I bet you would like that, huh, pal? Oh boy, the kid is really hot tonight. No, well, I'd give you one of my cupcakes, but I know how much you hate chocolate. Would a little drooling on your stomach help convince you otherwise? Oh, you like chocolate, okay, then you can have them both. One thing I have to say about Toby, although he's got a rotten sense of humor, he's a nice kid. Naturally, once I'd eaten both cupcakes, which took approximately 4 seconds, I felt obliged to hang around and let Toby know how grateful I was. What better way to share a few of his cheese crackers? Well, Harold, Toby said sometime later, we've had quite a party, but I have to go to sleep now. I can't keep my eyes open, so I'll have to wait until tomorrow to find out what happens in the next chapter. This is a good book, Harold. It's called Treasure Island, and it's by a man named Robert Louis Stevenson. It's kind of hard reading, though. I have to keep looking the big words up in the dictionary, so it's taking me a long time to read through it. I've always had trouble with words myself. Half the time, they don't mean what I think they're going to, and then even when I do find out what they mean, I forget the next day anyway. You might say that I'm smart, but just not the scholarly type. But it's a really good story, Toby continued. It's all about pirates, this little boy like me. No dogs? And a parrot, Harold. A parrot? What's a parrot? Is there anything about chocolate cake? That's my idea of treasure. Well, good night, Harold. If you're going to sleep here, you'll have to get off my stomach because it's a little full right now. Good night, Toby. I curled up at the foot of the bed, but I couldn't sleep trying to figure out what a parrot was. I thought it might be a lady pirate, since the words sounded something alike, but then again, I thought it might be an umbrella. Chester would know, I thought, so I went downstairs to ask him. Well, you certainly took your time, Chester snapped as he sauntered casually into the room. I finished my book half an hour ago. Where were you? It so happens I was discussing great works of literature with Toby. Since when is a Twinkie wrapper considered a great work of literature? I decided to ignore that. Unfortunately, several chocolate crumbs fell from my mouth to the floor at precisely that moment. As a matter of fact, I said, trying to valiantly regain my dignity, we were talking about Treasure Island. Ever heard of it? Ever heard of it? He sneered. I read that when I was a kitten. Oh, then tell me, Chester, what is a parrot? Chester looked at me scornfully. A parrot, he said, is a tropical zygodactyl bird, order Cetaceiforms, that has a stout, curved, hooked bill, is often crested, brightly variegated, and an excellent mimic. In other words, Harold, a parrot is a little bird with a big mouth. Oh, I said after a moment, I thought maybe it was an umbrella. Did you get so busy discussing parrots with Toby that you forgot you were going to meet me here? This is important, Harold. Still, I wasn't sure what a parrot was, but I decided that was not the time to pursue it. Come over here, Chester commanded, indicating his chair, and let me show you this book. I looked at the chair. Chester was already sitting in it, with a very large book open in front of him. I don't think there's going to be room for both of us, Chester, I said. Come on, you're wasting time. Just jump up here. I surveyed the scene carefully. I knew I would have to get a running start since there was just a tiny spot left for me, and I would never be able to fit into it if I pulled myself up slowly. Apparently, I was taking too long for Chester's liking. Will you get up here, he hissed. Okay, if that's what you want. I ran and I jumped onto the chair, landing with a great plop. Chester, where are you? I cried. I couldn't see anything but the back of the chair. I'd forgotten to turn myself around. I'm here, you great oaf. I turned my head. What are you doing on the floor? I asked. You knocked me off the chair. Now just stay put. I'm coming back up. I moved to the back of the chair and Chester landed on the front. Now let's see, he said. We both have to see the book. You come over here and I'll move this way. I don't know if you've ever watched a cat try to decide where to sit, but it involves a lot of circling around, sitting, getting up, circling some more, sitting, thinking about it, lying down, standing up, bathe the paw, lick the tail, circling. A dog, on the other hand, sits. This looks like a great spot, a dog will say to himself. He will then lower his body to the spot in question and is usually so secure in his decision that he will fall asleep immediately. Chester took what felt like 20 minutes to settle himself in, and just as I was drifting off, the kicks started. Come on, Harold, quit hogging the seat and wake up. What were you trying to do? Take a cat nap? Haw, haw, haw. I yawned. Now, said Chester, turning to the book, let's get down to brass tacks. What exactly is on your mind, I asked. This book and that rabbit, Chester replied. Now tell me, Harold, have you noticed anything funny about that rabbit? No, I said, but I've certainly noticed a lot of funny things about you recently. Think about it. That rabbit sleeps all day. So do I. So do you. Furthermore, he's got funny little sharp teeth. So do I. So do you. Furthermore, he gets in and out of his cage by himself. What kind of rabbit can do that? A smart one, I said. I could do it. We're not talking about you, Harold. We're talking about the rabbit. Now, where did they find him? At the movies? Yes, but what movie? Dracula, I said. So, he said quickly, remember the note around his neck? What language was it in? An obscure dialect of the Carpathian mountain region? I answered smugly. He didn't know everything. Aha, Chester said, but what area of the Carpathian mountain region? Area? What's an area? I looked at him blankly. Transylvania, he cried triumphantly, and that proves my point. What point? What are we talking about? And don't forget the white tomato. That's most important of all. But what? This book, said Chester, disregarding me, tells us just what we need to know. What? I practically screamed. What does it tell us? What does this book have to do with Banicula? What are you talking about? What's going on here? I can't stand it anymore. Chester regarded me coolly. You're really very excitable, Harold. That's not good for your blood pressure. I put my paws around his throat. Tell me, I said in a low, threatening voice, or I'll squeeze till you pop. Okay, just don't get upset. Now, this book tells you everything you've always wanted to know about vampires, but were afraid to ask. Personally, I had never wanted to know anything about vampires, but at the moment I was afraid to tell Chester. I still don't understand what vampires have to do with our little furry friend. One, Chester said, vampires do not sleep at night. They sleep only during the day. The same holds true for this rabbit. Two, vampires can get in and out of locked rooms. Benicula gets in and out of his locked cage. This was beginning to interest me. Didn't you say something about the refrigerator? That's right. He got the refrigerator open all by himself. Three, vampires have long pointed teeth. They're called fangs. Well, don't we have fangs? No, we have canines. That's different. What's the difference about it? Fangs are more pointed, and vampires use fangs to bite people on the neck. Who would want to do that? Vampires would. That's who. Wait a minute. I saw Mrs. Monroe bite Mr. Monroe on the neck once. Does that mean she's a vampire? Boy, you're dumb. She's not a vampire. She's a lawyer. She bites necks. I don't think that's quite the same thing. Now, Benicula does not bite people on the neck, at least not so far. But he does bite vegetables. On the neck, I asked? Vegetables don't have necks, Harold. Vegetables are like that. It's like dogs. Dogs don't have brains. Dogs are like that. Oh, yeah? I said, of course he bites vegetables. All rabbits bite vegetables. He bites them, Harold, but he does not eat them. That tomato was all white. What does that mean? It means that he paints vegetables, I ventured. It means he bites vegetables to make a hole in them, and then he sucks out all the juice. But what about all the lettuce and carrots that Toby has been feeding him in his cage? Aha! What indeed, Chester said. Look at this. Whereupon he stuck his paw under the chair cushion and brought out, with a flourish, an assortment of strange white objects. Some of them looked like unironed handkerchiefs. And the others, well, the others didn't look like anything I'd ever seen before. What are they? I asked. Chester smiled. Lettuce and carrots, he said. White lettuce and white carrots. I found them hidden behind his cage. I was aghast. What did it all mean? Could Chester be right? Was this harmless-looking little ball of fluff really a vampire? Just then, Chester let out a yelp. Look, he said, the cage is empty again. Oh, we're fools, we're fools. We've let him get out of our sight. It's your fault. My fault? You're the one who took 20 minutes to sit down. Well, if you hadn't knocked me off the chair in the first place. Wait a minute. Why are we arguing? Let's find Benicula. Just then we heard a click in the kitchen. Refrigerator, I whispered. Chester nodded. We jumped down and we moved cautiously to the kitchen door. Shh! Chester warned unnecessarily as we crept along. Don't make a noise. We don't want him to hear us coming. Obviously, I retorted. The light went out under the door. He must have closed the refrigerator, Chester said. Easy now. We pushed open the door. The kitchen was dark. There was not a sound. Psst, Chester, what? I can't see. I can, but I can't see him. He's not here. There was a soft scamper across the linoleum, and we turned just in time to see a little white tail bounce out the door into the living room. Drat! We've missed him. Come on, Harold. Let's see if we can catch up with him. Chester started toward the door. Wait, Chester. What's that on the floor by the refrigerator? He turned. This new object interested him more than following Benicula. Watch out, he said. I'll take care of this. He slunk across the room slowly, muscles taut, eyes alert. When he was about 6 inches away, he stuck out his paw, closed his eyes, and batted at the object tentatively. I don't think he made any contact. Get closer, I said. Chester's eyes popped open. Who's the cat here? He asked. I know what I'm doing. And he proceeded to bat the air 3 more times. What is it? I squealed as my throat contracted in fear. I don't know yet, but whatever it is, it's not alive. Oh boy, if I wait for you, we'll be here all night. I walked bravely to the object and sniffed it. Well, asked Chester, beats me. Chester came closer. After a moment of close examination, he gasped. He jumped. I could feel my heart pounding in my chest. Harold, Chester blurted. What? What?
It's,
what is it, Chester? It's a white zucchini.